each position plus two wild cards and two coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, the Boston Celtics all-time all-stars, the best players at each position for the C's, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Rudy Gobert in Boston and an interesting comp for Peyton Pritchard. All that and more on a Mailbag Friday here on this Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hi there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, wrapping up the week. It's a Monday through Friday podcast, so if you're new, that's what you're getting daily, Monday through Friday drops here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales, I host the show. Welcome back for those of you who are returning. I really appreciate your support, your love throughout all of this, people who make this part of your daily routine. I love you for it. Thank you. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, at the gym, in the shower, whatever it is nowadays, I don't know what anybody's doing anymore. So I just appreciate you taking the show with you, whatever it is that you're doing. It's a Friday. It's a mailbag. The Celtics did not practice on Thursday, did not talk to the media on Thursday. So great day for a mailbag. So let's just dive right on in. The first question comes from Mike P., who says, if the Celtics want to make the most of the traded player exception, they should be waiting until the trade deadline or next year's free agency. Staying under the tax line seems to be a priority this year in order to have the flexibility to go over the line once Tatum's max kicks in. If in a trade, the salaries needed to match are prorated, so if they're done by midseason, only half of the salaries count towards the tax line. That's true. At the end of the year, the tax line is calculated at the end of the season. That's, by the way, as an aside to Mike's point here, that's true. Unlike the hard cap, where the Celtics are not allowed to go over that at any point, they are allowed to go over the tax line whenever they want during the season. And then they've got to get under it after that. And at the end of the season, all of the money paid out gets calculated. And if they're over the tax line, then you're a tax-paying team. But you can be over the tax for half the season and under the tax for half the season, and you're not a taxpayer. So as long as that's how it works out at the end. So anyway, back to Mike's question. He says, for example, if Rudy Gobert does not extend with the Jazz and they believe he will test free agency, the Celtics could offer Tice and draft picks to bring him in. So let me start with this. Mike does make a good point as far as the tax line. However, Rudy Gobert is not on the table. And I want to make this point. The Celtics are hard capped. The Celtics are hard capped at $139 million. Their guaranteed total right now, salary, is about $115.3 million. Add Javonte Green, who is non-guaranteed, it goes up to like $116.8 or so. $117. So they have like basically give them some wiggle room, like $20 million to spend, to really take in the traded player exception. They're hard capped because of the Tristan Thompson signing. So Rudy Gobert, who makes $27.5 million this year, is off the table. The Celtics cannot trade for him unless they trade out enough salary to make that work. Now they can by trading out, you can cut Javonte Green and like in this example, you trade Daniel Tice, and you know, that clears up just a hair of enough room to make this possible. Is that how the Celtics really want to spend their money? I don't think so. So you have to, first of all, clear enough room to make this work. So Gobert, I think, is really off the table without this subsequent move. Are the Jazz going to say, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll take back Daniel Tice, no problem. Is that going to be their answer? Maybe. But also, is this where the Celtics want to spend their money? Rudy Gobert just turned down a max extension because he wants the supermax. Rudy Gobert is not a supermax player. You do not, in 2020 NBA, spend max money on a Rudy Gobert, who in the regular season can do a lot of great things and who in the playoffs can be schemed off the floor. That's not where you want to spend your money. Again, Kevin Arnovitz on ESPN has the best, look at what centers are in today's NBA. Centers are a mercenary position. You do not have to spend $30 million on a center. The Celtics last year spent $5 on Daniel Tice, and they had the fifth best defense. They were top five in offense and defense with Daniel Tice as their starting center. So is Rudy Gobert the answer to Bam Adebayo? Is he going out there on the fake handoffs that Adebayo loves to do up at the elbow, the high post? Is Rudy Gobert going to stop that play? I don't think so. He's not. That's not what he... You add Rudy Gobert to the Boston Celtics. What happens last season? Sub him out for Daniel Tice. I feel like they kind of go the exact same distance. Because I would rather have Bam Adebayo than Rudy Gobert. And Rudy Gobert does a lot of great things. Rudy Gobert's numbers look great in the regular season. And then comes the playoffs and you can scheme him away. So I agree with Mike. There's value to waiting. Although whenever a good player comes available, you just make this move. You do not at any point here in January say, oh, this is a move that makes sense. I'm going to trade for whomever. Can we wait 2 months because I want to prorate the salary? This is a situation where the Celtics have made their bed and this is where they are. If a good deal comes up, then a good deal comes up. If it comes up tomorrow, they got to make it. They just don't have much choice. But I see the point that's being made. Rudy Gobert is not the guy. I don't think the point here is that Mike's making is that Rudy is the best at defending Giannis and Embiid and AD. I don't know that he's the guy that you really. I'm not a Gobert guy. I'll just put it out there. I'm not a Gobert guy. I acknowledge all of the regular season stuff. I acknowledge all of that. I think those are overblown when it comes to the playoffs, and we've seen it happen. We've seen that play out in Utah. Josh S. says he has a preseason overreaction watching Peyton Pritchard. I'm getting really strong Jalen Brunson vibes. Both players were overlooked in the draft because of their age. Brunson was picked 33rd, Pritchard 26th. Of course, if Danny hadn't fallen in love, Pritchard would have probably slipped. That's true. And then he goes on. I'm bummed that Kemba is going to miss time. I'm excited to see what Pritchard can do as Teague's primary backup. We haven't had a young, exciting point guard to root for since Rondo? And no, I don't count Rozier. That's what Josh says. I'm not going to go that far with Pritchard yet. Although, the Pritchard-Brunson comp is potentially there. There's certainly value to that. Brunson's a smaller guy. He's got that energy. He's got that shot. I like that. Shades of Jalen Brunson for sure. I think that's a solid comp. And if Pritchard can become Jalen Brunson quickly, that helps the Celtics a lot. So I don't want to, and I will say, Josh does say this is an overreaction. So shouts to Josh for being at least self-aware. But yes, I agree that Pritchard has that high effort, as you put in your email, high IQ. It seems like he does. I think Pritchard is showed in that first game a little bit of what I was looking for, which I said a couple times earlier this week. Well, why was Danny Ainge so high on this guy? That's what we saw in that first game. Okay, I get it. I get it a little bit. I get it. Now, also keep in mind, not only was it one playoff game, one preseason game, I should say, sorry. It was against Philly, a Philly team that sat Embiid in the second half, and 14 of Pritchard's 16 points came in the second half. So, fully acknowledging Josh saying that this is an overreaction, we'll see how this continues. There's another preseason game later tonight. I'm going to be in the building, which is weird, and it's going to be interesting, and all of the precautions, it's just kind of bizarre. The whole thing's going to be bizarre. I'm excited to be in the Garden. I haven't been in the Garden since March. I'm looking forward to all of that. I'm looking forward to seeing Pritchard in person. I'm looking forward to seeing Pritchard, some of the ancillary stuff that you can see being at the game that you can't see being on, you know, watching on the TV. So I'm excited for that. So we'll see what he does. I think that he's shown some promise. So, and I'm on board. Jalen Brunson would be a great, if they get a Jalen Brunson type, you know, any kind of that from Pritchard in the first 2 years, 3 years, if that's fine with me. At the 26th pick, I'll take that. Up next, a question about, a question about my book, and an interesting question about how players, do they feel pressure to perform and live up to the drama? That's coming up next. You know, when I think of Peyton Pritchard, I think of him as a packet of built go. Just all of this energy packed into this little small ounce and a half package that helps break through that wall. If Peyton Pritchard wants to endorse something, built go would be perfect for him. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, you can break through it with go every day. Throw it into your work bag, your gym bag, if you're somewhere where it's nice, your golf bag. Whatever it is, those small packages pack a big punch. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's like a 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling, and it's all natural, so it's better for your body. The flavors are amazing. Peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. It's a collagen protein combined with the energy gel, and that collagen is fast absorbing, so it can get into your system super fast, and it's easy on the stomach. I've used this for a bit. It's true. It's very easy. It's very quick. You feel that boost pretty quickly. It's loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, B3, honey, a kick of caffeine, some vitamins, B6, B12. All of that stuff combines to help break you through that wall. And the collagen, it promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it really literally makes you look better on top of all of this. Try it out for yourself. Go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. It'll get you 20% off your next order, whether you use that promo code before or not. Use it again. The promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. You getting some Christmas money, maybe a Christmas bonus? You want to throw a few bucks down on the NBA or the Celtics? It doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wager. Subscribe to Locked On Bets, which just launched. It's brought to you by betonline.ag, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Continuing on with the mailbag, Anthony asks, hey, I have your book in my cart and I'm about to buy it. Anthony, thank you. My book, by the way, is the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's available wherever you get your books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I think it's out in physical bookstores. If you're out and shopping, pick it up. He asks, I would love to have a signed copy of the book. If I send it, would you sign it? That's, I think, a great idea. Now, I'm not going to give out my home address, so I have to figure something out. And so, Anthony, and to everybody who has bought my book, I will figure out a way to get you signed copies. I don't know how it's going to happen. Maybe I have to get a P.O. box, or maybe I have to get a stash of books and send them out somehow. But a lot of people have asked, and I appreciate this. I love that you've asked. I think it's great. I want to send you signed books. Absolutely. So, Anthony, yes. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I will work with the publisher and find a way to get signed books to anybody who wants one, wherever you are. So that's great. Again, buy my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's basically I pick an all-star team, 12 players, 10 from, you know, each position. So 2 point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forward, centers, a starter and a backup, 2 wild cards. The book kind of shows my agonizing process and some of these tougher decisions. I leave off some guys that just break me mentally. I still don't know how I left some of these guys off, but I do. I have to. So please buy that book. Bob says, in a recent podcast, you mentioned that fans treat players as if they are characters in a play rather than real people. It's an interesting insight in that entertaining and storytelling are a crucial part of how the NBA and other leagues make money. The NBA is, in some ways, a long-running reality TV show, as well as an athletic league. How aware are players of the need to sell the drama of the game as part of their jobs? Is that something the stars are concerned about? Only the stars are concerned about, or do all players slash teams think about that? Well, frankly, I think there are probably a handful of guys that can think about that, because the rest of the league is really just focused on trying to win the game. But there are some superstars out there who are like, watch me put on this show. Watch me do this. And so there are probably a couple, and I don't know about sell the drama. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't think there's an edict from the league to sell the drama. Hey, Kyrie. Hey, LeBron. Play this up for us a little bit, huh? That's not happening. There are guys who naturally sell drama. The NBA is a naturally petty league. So, yeah, some of that's just going to happen no matter what. But I don't think, by and large, I'd say like 98, 99% of the league does not care. All they care about is the winning games. But I will also add to that, There are, everybody's got an ego. You don't get to the NBA without an ego. And when that ego comes into play, the drama comes into play. Just like last season, when I was in LA, if you remember that whole Marcus Smart, Patrick Beverley thing, where Patrick Beverley kind of refused to acknowledge that Marcus Smart was on his level. I'm the one that asked that question. I'm the one that asked Patrick Beverley in the Clippers locker room what it was like to be out there with Marcus Smart, basically trying to out-hustle one another, and he didn't want to have it. And so he didn't start that drama necessarily, but his reaction to my question was dramatic. And Marcus Smart, given the opportunity to answer with his ego, added to that drama. I don't think that he said, huh, all right, let me give you the most dramatic answer possible. I think his ego was just like, screw you, Pat Bev. Here's what I think. And it was a little, you know, shit talking. So I don't think they think about it, but when egos are that big, when egos drive as much as they drive in the NBA, you're naturally going to get that stuff. Another one here from Mike, who says, non-hoops question for you. Do you have a sense of where in the Boston area Celtics players tend to live? Do they pretty much all live in wealthy, predominantly white suburbs like Hayward did in Wellesley? Do any of them live in the city? And so I don't know. I'm certainly not going to tell you where every player lives. I don't know where every player lives. I think it depends on the player, but there are a fair amount of players who want to get their big mansion-y type of places, Gordon Hayward among them. So you have to go out to certain areas. I know Kevin Garnett found a place in Concord. That stuff gets out anyway. If you really pay attention, there are people whose jobs, they report that stuff. You figure out where it is. So some players want, when they know they're going to be somewhere for a long time, they want to build something big and nice, a place that they can kind of really just, go crazy in. Some players live in like a townhouse somewhere and they want to be closer to the practice facility. Like Robert Williams said that he got an apartment like within almost walking distance to the practice facility. Different guys live in different places. So I think they will just, depends on taste. And part of Mike's question has to do with, a racial element to where guys live and all of that stuff, and Bill Russell's home being vandalized. I don't think any of that stuff is happening right now. I think even the racists don't bother the players anymore. So luckily, and security allows for them to live wherever they want without having to deal with most of that stuff. So these guys are super rich and super able to just control their environments. So luckily, and Bill Russell blazed the trail for that, but luckily they can kind of insulate themselves from all of that. Gonna wrap up the show when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. All right, NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week. Now, it's been going on since Monday, so if you haven't subscribed to Locked On NBA, do so and go back to the beginning. You'll get previews from all the local experts, all the people like me who cover their teams in their markets. Plus, you get waiver wire editions from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast and Rookies to Watch from draft guru Chad Ford. So like I said, I did the Celtics preview that was on Tuesday in the Atlantic Division. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast. A couple of questions here about me. So Dave and Barry ask a couple of questions here. So Dave says, just heard that you are leaving Mass Live. What's the next step for you? And Barry says, really enjoy your work. Thank you. You mentioned leaving Mass Live. What happened? First Tom Westerholm and now you. What's happening with that organization? There seems to be a lot of shuffling in the industry. Saw recently where Michael Pina and Howard Beck are going to SI. People are in and out of the ringer and so on. Any words of wisdom as to where the sports reporting world is headed and where you are headed? So let me start with me. I am indeed leaving Mass Live. Friday is my last day at Mass Live. It was my decision to leave Mass Live. It was well received, and I just decided that it was not for me anymore. And so I am staying in Boston. I'm not leaving. I have not gone to another outlet just yet. I'm not looking to leave the market and cover another team. I am staying in Boston. So for right now, my primary focus is going to be this podcast with some freelance work, I hope, and potentially some, you know, I'm still going to be writing some stuff, probably back on redsarmy.com to give you just an outlet for my daily beat reporting. And then from there, hopefully, something that I can announce within, I don't know, whenever. I'm a free agent. It's basically, I'm Gordon Hayward. I opted out and I am now a free agent. Is basically where that goes. As far as the industry, there's always shuffling within the industry. That's how this industry works. Very much like the NBA. Some players leave on their own, like I did. Some players get cut, like Howard Beck did, which is ridiculous because he's awesome. And different organizations have different goals. And so really good people like Pina and Beck get let go for various reasons. So they're off to SI. People are in and out of the ringer. Yeah, people are in and out of everything. So my word of wisdom as to sports reporting is it's basically, I tell every young up-and-coming reporter, any young college-age reporter, wannabe reporter, this business is a lot like the sport that we cover. There are limited spots. There's a ton of competition for these spots. If a spot opens up, a lot of people want it. And I'd like to think that being one of the people who willingly left one of those spots, it's because I know I have the potential to fill a role somewhere. So I don't have an announcement. I literally don't. It's not like there's a job that I've taken and can't say I don't have anything. So the podcast is my job and my writing is still going to exist in Boston. So if you follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, that's where you'll find me tweeting out my writing. So there's going to be some flux for sure, but eventually I hope things will settle down. So also Dave asked a question, definitely a rusty start for the C's young core. Brown and Tatum look pretty bad. A lot of ISO ball. I know a few guys were out, but do we chalk that up to the first preseason game or after a very short camp? Or is this what the team will look like when Kemba is out? A little bit of both there. I think that, well, Brad Stevens said flat out that the timing, the timing was off and it devolved into a lot of ISO. And so that's not what they were looking to do. I think Brown and Tatum are off. I don't think that that's going to be something that goes consistently. But yeah, with Kemba out, there are going to be disjointed times because it's going to be hard. And when Tatum is out, I think the rotations are going to have to be that when Tatum is out, Marcus Smart is in, because they're just going to need somebody to focus on the offense. Or Jaylen Brown is going to have to be a much more dynamic player. And I don't want to put that on Jaylen Brown. He could grow into that. I don't know. But I think his best spot is playing off of somebody. So let's give it a couple more games. I don't think this is how it's going to be forever. But Kemba being out certainly helps. But I'm also willing to chalk a bunch of that up to the first preseason game. And then just wrapping it up here. Larry says, I'd love to see a column after every game that answers your own questions when I put out my however many things to watch. Yeah, it could be something that I do. So I put out five things to watch, these things that I'm looking for. It could just be a good thing to wrap that up. I like the suggestion. Maybe I'll start doing it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast. If you're new, Fridays I do mailbags. Of course, if there's a game on a Thursday night, Friday will be just a regular post game, and then I'll move the mailbag to Thursday, or maybe I'll just sprinkle in mailbag questions. The season begins next week, so I've been doing these mailbags partly because of my job at Mass Live. So now that that's over, I don't know how that's going to continue, but you know, just keep firing the questions at me, john@johncorrales.com. That's the way that I think the best way to just hit me up, john@johncorrales.com. If you've got questions, I can try to sprinkle them in throughout the week, do a regular mailbag podcast, continue to do that depending on how the schedule works out. So I do not want to do a mailbag the day after a game and have people go, why aren't you talking about the game? So we'll play it by ear. So I appreciate that. All of you regular listeners, thank you for sticking with this podcast, making it the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Really appreciate that. Thank you for buying my book, those of you who did. If you haven't, I really would appreciate that if you would. Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, now available wherever books are sold. I appreciate everything that you guys do for me. Thank you very much. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.